KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05 here this morning, we have 30 degrees, cloudy skies, and still some light snow tapering down here at the KJN studios. We picked up a total of 2 inches of snowfall so far here in Atlantic as of 7 o'clock here for this overnight period. And we anticipate some more snow and mixed in with some rain here throughout the rest of the morning especially, and then into the early afternoon. There is a winter weather advisory that's in place here for the listening area as well. Cass, Crawford, Carroll, Audubon, Guthrie, Adair, Madison, Adams, Union, Taylor, and Ringgold counties have a winter weather advisory in effect until 3 p.m. this afternoon. And for Monona, Harrison, Shelby, Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, and Page counties, a winter weather advisory in effect until 4 p.m. here today. We could see 1 to 3 inches here in the immediate area and 2 to 5 inches possible in some of those southern counties here today with that activity. So do be a little cautious if you have to do a little travel here this morning. You're going to be a little slick out there and mushy here in a lot of spots. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The news is being brought to you by Manning Regional Health Center, your trusted experts close to home. State officials say there are now 17 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Iowa. The latest case confirmed on Friday in Harrison County resident is linked to travel. Governor Kim Reynolds says since all of 17 cases are connected to travel, there's no evidence of the new coronavirus spreading within Iowa communities. She isn't recommending that schools close or large events be canceled.
If you're sick, stay home. If you're a vulnerable population with underlying conditions, don't go to large crowds, don't go to big events. You know, we want to keep business open and we want to make sure that we're protecting the health and well-being of Iowans, but we also want to make sure that we're doing what we can to be responsive and mitigating our approach, and that we're keeping business and normal activity going as much as possible.
Reynolds says the goal is to avoid a spike in coronavirus cases that would lead to the crash of the state's healthcare system. Ordering school, government, and even event closings too early means there will still be peak, but it will happen later, she says.
So we need to base it on data. We need to be prepared to take action once we hit that the community spread or the triggers that would identify that.
The governors of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Louisiana on Friday ordered schools closed, an action governors in a half dozen other states had already taken. Iowa's governor says closing schools too soon can have a negative ripple effect on families and communities.
It's an evolving situation, and it changes sometimes by the hour and by the day. And so we're trying to be consistent in the data that we're collecting so we make responsible, reasonable decisions to really mitigate the spread and contain it as much as we can.
Agencies in Iowa state government are holding board and commission meetings by telephone, and Reynolds has ordered all non-essential state employee travel canceled. Reynolds says many Iowa schools will be on spring break next week. She urged Iowans who plan to travel to be safe and be responsible and check on the prevalence of COVID-19 in the areas they're visiting and self-isolate if necessary upon their return to Iowa. The state hygienic lab now has 850 kits available to test Iowans who have symptoms of the viral infection. And Cass County Health System issued a specific process on Friday for all patients who need COVID-19 testing. As of March 13th, the process is as follows. Patients should review the testing criteria that can be found at casshealth.org/COVID-19 or via the hotline at 712-243-7479. Now, if the patient feels that they are in need of testing, they should call 712-243-2850 to schedule a same-day appointment or to inquire about being seen at AMC Rapid Care. Patients will then be directed to go to the southeast side of CCHS to the Suite C entrance, the previous evening clinic entrance, and then will wait at the door. CCH staff will meet them at the door with a mask, and the masked patient will then be escorted into an exam room for testing. The test itself is the same as being swabbed for influenza. A swab will be inserted into the nostril and rotated gently for 10 to 30 seconds. Patients with mild symptoms will be sent home for self-monitoring and appropriate home treatment. If the COVID-19 test is positive, then additional direction will be given to that patient at that time about isolation protocols. Patients with severe symptoms will be assessed by CCHS staff. Next steps will be determined at that time. If you're concerned about your symptoms and think you may meet the testing criteria, call 712-243-2850. KJAN News Time is 710.
Recovering from an injury, procedure, or illness can be difficult. Let Manning Regional Healthcare Center's skilled nursing team help your loved one rehabilitate, regain their independence, and get back to their daily routine. When a physician refers a patient from an acute care facility, our trusted experts will coordinate care for all medical services and create a program to help improve activities of daily living. To learn more about our skilled care nursing services at Manning Regional or inquire about admission, call our patient care coordinator at 655-2072.
Iowa Republicans will hold county conventions on Saturday, but the Iowa Democratic Party has postponed its county conventions, which were to be held later this month. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Republican Party leaders say they consulted with state public health officials and the governor's office and decided to move forward with county conventions this weekend. But a spokesman for the party says they strongly advise Republican delegates who do not feel well to stay home. Iowa Democrats, meanwhile, say their county conventions, originally scheduled for March 21st, are postponed until a future date to be determined. Iowa Democratic Party Chairman Mark Smith says after consulting with public health officials and party activists, Democrats determined the risk of the coronavirus outweighs any temporary delay in county conventions. Radio Iowa, I'm O.K. Henderson.
The Iowa Democratic Party's chairman says activists shouldn't have to choose between exercising their right to participate in the political process and remaining in good health. Iowa Republicans made the announcement that Saturday's county conventions would go on as planned on Thursday, but the GOP news release indicated if the Iowa Department of Public Health changes its advice and discourages holding large public gatherings in Iowa, they would change course. Governor Kim Reynolds is scheduled to hold a news conference or did hold a news conference yesterday afternoon there about COVID-19. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Omaha District says it has reached its goal of having the Missouri River main stem levee system restored to its full height following massive flooding a year ago that devastated levees in Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. The Corps said in a news conference Friday that while there is still much work to be done throughout the region, crews had closed 24 breaches along the main river system, spending more than $400 million to date on the work. District Commander Colonel John Hudson said crews have moved 4.73 million cubic yards of sand in the effort, equal to two Empire State Buildings. Iowa State University has reached a settlement with a group that accused the school of trying to suppress free speech on campus. Speech First sued the university, challenging the school's ban on chalking political messages on sidewalks and sending of emails for campaigns and elections, and the use of the ISU campus climate reporting system. Speech First President Nicole Neely says they dropped the lawsuit after the university agreed to changes in the policy for chalking and emails. She says the school's campus climate reporting system will also not contact or meet with students accused of biased speech. ISU President Wendy Winterstein issued a statement that says the allegations of suppression made by Speech First were simply not true. Winterstein says no money was paid to Speech First by Iowa State University. Officials with the nonprofit West Central Community Action in Atlantic report the decision has been made to close all of their emergency clothing rooms from now through March 27th due to growing concerns about the COVID-19 virus. The organization will also not be accepting donations during the aforementioned time frame. WCCA food pantries will, however, remain open where available. The Atlantic WCCA office does not have a food pantry. WCCA says it will continue to monitor the situation and continue to develop and implement plans based on CDC recommendations. Cass County Wellness Program Coordinator Brigham Hoyd said Friday that due to concerns of spread of the disease and accessibility, the Cass County Farmers Market preseason vendor workshop will be held March 16th via phone conference from 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. All materials will be supplied electronically. The Cass County Local Food Policy Council and Cass County ISU Extension encourage those considering vending at Cass County Farmers Markets in 2020 to attend the free workshop. Those interested in attending the workshop are asked to RSVP by March 15th to Hoig at 712-249-5870 or by email at bhoig@iastate.edu. Registrants will receive the phone conference number and electronic materials, while all presenters will join the conference by phone. Attendees needing assistance participating in the phone conference may join the call at the Cass County Community Center. Those planning to join the phone conference at the Community Center are asked to RSVP to ISU Extension at 712-243-1132. The preseason workshop has been designed to cover topics of interest to both experienced vendors and those just starting to consider participating in farmers markets. Experts in the area of food safety and market licensing requirements, farm market insurance, and resources from the Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship will present at the workshop. During the last 30 minutes of the workshop, vendor information will be provided for Cass County Farmers Markets, including the Anita Farmers Market, the Atlantic Farmers Market, and Produce in the Park. That's a look at some of the latest in the news. We'll check funeral announcements next. News time is 7:16.
Are you having trouble sleeping, repeatedly waking up in the middle of the night, waking up not feeling rested, or experiencing weight gain, obesity, or even snoring? It could be the result of abnormal sleeping habits. A sleep study at Manning Regional Healthcare Center can help give you the answers. Sleep studies address issues such as snoring, sleep apnea, daytime sleepiness, morning headaches, memory judgment, high blood pressure, and decreased sexual drive. To schedule your sleep study today, call Manning Regional Healthcare Center at 655-2072 and get a better night's sleep tonight.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Jim Jensen, age 84, of Harlan, died Tuesday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Jim Jensen will be held Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Leslie L. Nation, age 73, of Dexter, died March 6th at the VA Medical Center in Des Moines. A celebration of life service for Leslie L. Nation will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home Dexter Chapel has arrangements. Merlin Severs, age 93, of Coon Rapids, died Monday at the Thomas Resthaven Nursing Home. Funeral services for Merlin Severs will be held on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Lyle Peterson, age 90, of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Lyle Peterson will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Donald Pelzer, age 83, of Atlantic and formerly of Marnie, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Donald Pelzer will be held on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Don Chestnut, age 87, of Adair, died Thursday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. Funeral services for Don Chestnut will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Judith Kading, age 78, of Altoona, died on December 10th at home. Graveside services for Judith Kading will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Oakwood Cemetery in Casey. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Nellie Miller, age 93, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center in Greenfield. Funeral services for Nellie Miller will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Robert Bob G. Dixon, Jr., age 93, of Menlo, died Monday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Bob Dixon, Jr. will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Francis Hansen, age 96, died Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Francis Hansen will be held on Saturday, March 21st at 11 a.m. at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Lowell Nelson, age 67, of Vancouver, Washington, and formerly of Avoca, died March 6th in Vancouver. A celebration of life for Lowell Nelson will be held on Saturday, March 21st in Vancouver. Locally, a celebration of life will be held at a later date in Hancock. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here this morning on KJN. News brought to you by Manning Regional Health Center, your trusted experts close to home. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.